Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. The number of today's show is 1028, and today we'd like to talk about a new trend that's conquering the world, minimalism. Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. Tal, please. So we're actually talking about a trend that's gaining momentum in today's world, where people just want to reduce their possessions, their property, to reduce their living environment, to get rid of the load of all the unnecessary possessions, and to gain some kind of control over their life. They want to rebel against the consumer culture that's pushing them to race for material possessions that they're enslaved to, and they want to set themselves free. They want to choose what do they do with their time, with their space, and for things to be as simple, as calm, and as meaningful as possible. I think that it's a kind of cry out of the chaos and the pressure of the Western way of living for something more minimalistic and true. So today we'd like to talk about this evolving trend. And by the way, this is a trend that's developing mostly among the younger generation that's experiencing economical difficulties and pressure, but also the older generation is less interested in material possessions. They're looking more for meaning, experiences. They're also aware of what does the consumerist culture do to the environment. The development of the internet allows them to live a more virtual life where we're less tied to corporate reality. But there's also a lot of criticism about this method, and we'll talk about this a bit later. So first of all, we'd like to talk about this trend. What's really going on? Especially now that there's plenty of everything, we want to run away from it. How do you see this trend? You could also witness such phenomena in ancient Greece and in ancient cultures. There were such periods where people lived very modestly, even though that they could afford many good things for themselves. Where does this come from? It's because whatever I acquire, it controls me, even though that it seems to me that I'm in control of it. I have to keep it. I have to worry about it. It becomes, as it says, adds property, adds pain. This is how it is. It's worries, problems. And so where the golden path should be. And the golden path, it depends on culture, education, the acquisition of knowledge, and different other such parameters that a person has. And people that are more engaged in spiritual things, then, of course, this is what mainly interests them. And to the contrary, people who look at others and how everyone runs to buy everything, then they get an appetite from them and also become like them. So it all depends on society. It also depends on the times that society is going through, is experiencing, and it also depends on the person himself. But again, no matter what we say, the approach to get rid of the surplus of material goods, it's also an egoistic approach. I simply feel that it's pressuring me, that it's better for me not to be connected to anyone or anything and to be free. The greatest asset is actually freedom. So instead of being addicted to my car and my clothes and the jewelry that I own and a few other things, instead of that, I set myself free. I put on some sweatsuit or something simple and go for a stroll. Birds, grass, sun. What do I need? What do I need these walls with the air conditioners and everything for? It all depends on the person, on the extent to which he understands that he's becoming a slave to these things. And it's not that he acquires them, but that they acquire him. Many times, like when we clean for the holidays, for Passover, for example, and we throw out everything that we don't need, it gives us this good inner feeling of cleanness. What's the relation between these external objects and our inner feeling? Yeah, to be free. To be free of pressure, because freedom is also a very precious possession. And the excess of property and objects burdens us? Of course, I have to think about it. Subconsciously, in some place in my head, I keep all these things. I have to think about them, what could happen to them, and so on. As it says, for in much wisdom is much grief. Even subconsciously, we feel that it's pressuring us psychologically. You said that even in ancient cultures, there were such periods where people preferred to get rid of their material possessions. Of course. But I'd like to relate to what's going on today. Today, when the world has reached abundance and plenty, why does this trend grow out of it, actually? Because people are not enjoying themselves. They don't enjoy buying stuff. Suppose 2 weeks ago, on Black Friday, 2 weeks ago, I think, right? And I bought and bought and bought, and I brought it all home. Different stuff that I had in my hands, tied to my head. I filled my car and another cart, and I came home. Now, where will I put all of this? So I have to get another closet. I don't have place for another closet, so I have to get a new apartment, and so on and so forth. Meaning, actually, instead of buying a few things, these things are now forcing me to work for them. Isn't it enough that I worked in order to buy them? Now I have to work in order to keep them. This wasn't my intention, but this is what happens. Wouldn't it be better to have just one or two things to wear? Well, if I'm a public figure, then to have several things to wear, but not excessively, that I take everything into account. Is it preferable, worthwhile, or not worthwhile having it? And this is something that we have to get used to, because it really doesn't give us anything. Besides, the problem in the world is that otherwise people will be out of a job. So we're pressured by the manufacturers and the designers and all those that sell. And therefore, we're forced to do this. We're being influenced by them. People feel this pressure and they want to rebel against it. They want to set themselves free of this. And one of the principles of this approach is to escape the attitude where we say that a person is what he has, the money that he has, the property that he has, the more he has, the more he's worth. And people say, I don't want to be my work. I don't want to be my wallet. I want to be who I am. So there's a desire to escape being tagged by society. How do you see this desire that's developing today? We're in a historical process. It's not a temporary process, but an historical one, where our ego, as the foundation of our entire perception of reality, our entire worldview, man's essence is our ego, the will to receive pleasure. It changes all the time. And when it changes, it doesn't only change in quantity, more and more and more, but it also changes qualitatively. And therefore, we don't want what we had before, but we want something new. So we're re-examining what we have. When a person gets this kind of desire, that he no longer wants to be defined by what he has, by his car, his job, his house, his clothes, but according to what he is, what does that say about us as people? This is still far away. What do you mean? Because look what we appreciate people by, their property, position, power. Obviously, the trend of minimalism, what does it say? That I'm not the status symbols that I've acquired. I am who I am as a person. Where are you as a person? Where do we see that? That's my question. When more and more people have such a desire, especially the younger generation, where is this leading us? What does it say about our evolution? It's leading us to the recognition of evil, that really we're underdeveloped. We don't really know what to do with ourselves. We have to be more critical about ourselves. What do we need in order to become human beings? What values will we take instead of these material values that we've been developing in all this time? How many rooms do I have? 5, 10, 20. How many cars do I have? How much of this? How much of that? Instead of how much do I have quantitatively wise, what do I have qualitatively wise? How much did I ascend qualitatively? And qualitatively, this is a problem. What is a person supposed to ascend to? What are these values that I'm supposed to acquire? Maybe instead of buying and spending money in shops, I'll invest myself and my money and my time in order to learn something, in order to improve in something. But in what? Where? We see that nowadays, even a person's profession is no longer an asset. It's not some kind of symbol for appreciation. Meaning we already have to start thinking about how, from this day and on, do we start appreciating people according to what? How do we teach a person what does it mean to be a respectable, distinguished, appreciated person that society appreciates? Even if he wears the same clothes his entire life, but people will look at him and say, this is a special person. That he is changing from day to day, and not that every day he's wearing something new. It says here that a person who has no property and feels content, he is the master of the world. Do you agree with this saying? Well, agree or disagree, anyone can say that. But the question is, do we really keep it? Yeah, but why a person that has no property is the master of the world and he's content? Because on the one hand, he feels that he has nothing to worry about, but about the main things about him, inside him. So he really feels that the entire world's his. He's not addicted to anything. He doesn't have to keep anything. He feels that he's free. So when we make room and get rid of all the redundant things that we don't need, we make room for those things inside us, meaningful things. Yeah. So what are these things inside us that we should make room for? Here we have to think. What's the meaning of life? What are we living for? Not in order to acquire more and more stuff, but that I want real property. Real property is, first of all, eternal property, not that I die and it dies with me, or I leave it to someone until it's thrown away. But property, eternal property, are things that exist in nature along with me. In me, is there an eternal part? This is actually what I want to know. If there is, then it's worthwhile using it, acquiring it, enlarging it, respecting it, developing it, if there is an eternal part in me. And here we're already talking about the soul. Because there's really a feeling that people want to get rid of different things that aren't meaningful maybe, but what is the real meaning? Where to look for it? There, you know, everyone does it for themselves and there's no clear way to realize what you're looking for. Right. I, as someone who's engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah, can offer a person if he's looking for something eternal, for eternal property. It's called the soul. It's what a person acquires. But it's serious work that a person has to invest himself in order to reach this eternal property that's called the power of bestowal, the power of love, through love of others, where a person reaches a state where he really wants to be, he wants to relate to others with love. He wants to feel that the true, whole, complete, worthwhile property is not that I acquire something because I like it, but that I give of myself everything that I can because I love others. Why does it mean that he has acquired something? As it says, my heart has acquired something good. That's how it is. Because the love of others starts filling me above and beyond any other forms of egoistic possessions. And why is it called an eternal possession? It doesn't disappear. It can't disappear because it doesn't depend on anyone's ego. No one can take it away from me. If I acquire it, it's mine. It's mine. It's called loving the world. I don't understand. I gave someone something. I gave everything that I have. What am I left with? Why left? Why are you asking what are you left with? Because I have as if acquired something eternal. Yes, you have acquired this good attitude toward others, and it's yours. It exists in you. If I give someone to someone else, we're talking about a person's attitude towards someone else, not about possessions. If I treat someone else favorably, then I already gave it. It's already in the world. It doesn't disappear. You improved the world, so the world became your bank that you invest in. Suppose you all the time think, where is it if I'll need it? Where is it and what do I deserve in return? No, just to really understand, is it something tangible? Because we're talking about attaining something, so it has to have some kind. It's something that I can hold in my hands, or at least understand that, you know, it continues. It continues to the extent to which you draw your will to bestow, you extend your will to bestow your love for others more and more and continue. And then a person acquires a greater ability for what? To give. This is his property. You said that many people in the world nowadays start saying that this is how it is. And why is it eternal? A person dies at a certain point. Yes, but what he gave to others, this remains. How can you reach such a readiness, willingness? By working in a group, by a special kind of training, where people acquire this feeling that giving is more than receiving. I want to look at a different aspect of these things. The trend of minimalism, we say that it's good to reduce the number of possessions that you have, your property, because gradually it sets you free. It doesn't mean that you should be a beggar, but, you know, that you'll have your basic needs. Everyone does that. Well, not everyone. Like Tal mentioned, the Passover cleaning. Well, it's not everyone, because if I have a three-story villa and I clean it on Passover and I throw out my old couch and buy a new one, it's not like a person that restricts himself. There are people that restrict themselves to owning 50 or 51 objects. That's it. But I wanted to ask about something else. When we're talking about restricting the number of objects or possessions that we own, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, there's also a concept called restriction. When the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about restriction, what does it mean? To limit the number of possessions that I have or what? No, the wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't talk about quantity. So when Kabbalah speaks about restriction, what does it mean? It means that I myself don't need it, but only for the sake of others. What don't you need? I don't need anything. For myself, I don't need anything. Do I have to eat? Yes. Drink? Yes. Wear something? Yes. Sleep? Yes. I need a house. I need a wife and children. I need a job. I need to earn a living. I need many things. But actually, I can say that I don't want anything. But you just gave me 10 things that you need. 50 things, 100 things. And then you say after that, but I don't need anything. So what is a restriction? The question is, what do I use them for? To my own benefit, in order to fulfill myself, or that my entire life, from moment to moment, is directed only to the benefit of society, to the benefit of others, to the benefit of the Creator, If it's for whatever's outside of me, and this is how I live, then I can eat and drink and dress and sleep and have all these things, but I use them in order to give. The intention. So what do you restrict? I all the time restrict only the egoistic usage of things, which is what? That I want to enjoy it to my own benefit, only for myself. And when you restrict your inclination to egoistically use things, what are you left with? With everything. No, I don't mean material possessions. This I understand. I have a house. I have everything. Yeah, but internally wise, what are you left with? You have the natural inclination to enjoy everything to your own benefit. I have to restrict this inclination. So what am I left with? What enlivens me? What enlivens me is that I give. And this is what I enjoy. For me, it's like receiving. Bestowal for me is like reception. 3 minutes ago, you emphasized that when you talk about the desire to give, bestow, and so on, you're not necessarily talking about giving, handing out material possessions, but it's about a person's attitude. So what am I supposed to restrict in terms of my attitude toward myself and others, and what kind of attitude should I develop according to the wisdom of Kabbalah? You have to restrict all the thoughts about yourself, and you have to develop all the thoughts about others in favor of others. Can you explain some more? Explain what? What you said, and why is it important? It's important because society has developed to such a state where all of us have to be connected in a good way. And how is that related to the matter at hand? Because then, this way, we build a good and nice new society in which all of us relate nicely, correctly to each other, in a good attitude toward one another, developing only those things that are necessary for life. We don't disregard or disrespect anyone. We don't destroy the environment. We don't cover it, our environment, with garbage. We protect the ecology and so on. If I do it to the benefit of others, then obviously I use for myself only the healthiest things that are best for me, simplest things. Why is it that when we focus on ourselves, we tend to accumulate unnecessary things, fall out of balance, destroy the environment? Why does it happen? Because as if we're caring for ourselves to feel good. Good how? You're saying that we have to change our attitude from caring for myself to caring for others, and then I won't use more than I need. Then, for sure, I'll relate to myself in the healthiest way. Why is it that when I care for myself, I do unhealthy things? Because then you fill yourself with different kinds of foods and things that are unnecessary, that are beyond the basic needs of the body. Our body is like any other animal. It doesn't need more than an animal needs. And what did we not do in order to fill it with different things? Why? Not because the body wants it, but because someone wants to benefit at our expense. And also we have a desire that's never fulfilled. We never feel satisfied or fulfilled ever. And this is how it's always going to be until we change the method of how we fulfill ourselves. That will become fulfilled not by receiving, but by giving. And actually, this inner need, this emptiness will be fulfilled by this change? Yes. This is what the need to get rid of the unnecessary possessions that burden me is about. I'll be filled by giving limitlessly. Why? Why does the fulfillment from giving bring me to unlimited pleasure? Because I can fill everyone with anything. even with my simple attitude, to relate to them, love them, smile to them, I can do that. It's not that I buy them stuff and fill their house with my presence. No. What then? How do you fill them? With a good mood. And what does it do for you? Gives me a good mood. Why does doing good to others, even by sheer attitude, fulfills you limitlessly? Because this is how I build myself. This is called true minimalism. Can you define it? That I don't need any corporeal objects in order to fulfill myself and others limitlessly. What do you need? Nothing. So how do you fulfill them? With what? With my attitude. Where do you take this attitude from? Well, where do I take the attitude from? This already education. This is the wisdom of Kabbalah. Here we have to learn how to do this, but it's obvious that we don't need any objects or anything else. We have to only learn how to treat others favorably, and then by that I fulfill myself, and I fulfill them, and all of us are in satiation. So if I'm a minimalist and I throw a few things in my caravan and travel around the world, it won't fulfill my need for meaning. No, it's not minimalism. It's called in Hebrew exchanging a cow for a donkey. So there are those that live in a bungalow in the middle of the ocean. So what? So I have to change the method by which I fulfill myself. If up until now I fulfilled myself to my own benefit, I have to learn how to love others. Yes, then you can fulfill yourself limitlessly. When you fulfill others, there is no limit to how much you can fulfill them and yourself. Last question. If I understand, exchanging the method of fulfillment, it's not about how much possessions I have. It's not about possessions at all. It's not about that. We don't care about that. The relations between us, that's what's important. It's above and beyond all of our possessions. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.